Wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study in the Book of Romans, titled Wake Up. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get started.
I am so excited about this book. I am not kidding you. I was stressing over it as the week went by, and I'm going over it, and I'm studying, and I'm just like, oh, okay, I don't understand that, you know. And then last night, as I just was praying and seeking the Lord, and just getting into the direction He wanted me to go instead of the direction that I thought I should be going, I'm really excited about what He has to share with us today. And so, Father, as we just look into Your Word right now, Father, we are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure to be in this nice, cool place, Lord. Thank You for giving us air conditioning. Thank You, Lord, that we can be in a place where we can not sweat for no reason. Lord, I love You, and I am thankful, Lord, that You take such good care of us. Thank You, Father, for Your presence amongst us. And Father, give us teachable hearts. Keep each one of us, Lord, in a place where we are teachable, that we are willing to learn from You, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit. Give us an awareness of Your presence with us. And help us, Lord, to be alert to Your voice and to lift up our eyes to You, Lord, as we look at this world as the place that we're in right now, Father. I just pray, God, that You would give the leaders of our country wisdom. Father, that You would bring them to Yourselves. Father, that You would cause Christians everywhere in these United States, Lord, to humble themselves and pray and seek Your face and turn from their wicked ways so that You can hear from heaven and heal our land, Lord. We give it all to You, and we're thankful for this book of Romans, this little letter, Lord. Thank You so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And so you have your Bibles already open, I know, to chapter 1 of the book of Romans. And right away, you did notice when you went to your homework, you noticed that there was an error on the first page, didn't you? Yes. So that was meant to be, on day 1, that was meant to be 1 through 7. Which was an obvious thing, but we're sorry for the error, and thank you for correcting it and going 1 through 7 on your own and taking the initiative on that. And so we saw last week, first of all, we want to remember it's been 25 years since Paul came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. 25 years before this letter was written was he in that place where he had committed himself to Christ. And so we see here, we saw last week, Paul, a bondservant, he identifies himself right away that he is a servant of the living God by choice. He has chosen to be that servant. We know that he was called to be an apostle. He was separated for a purpose, for the gospel of God, which was promised in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it said that these things would take place. And so we're going to see as we get into this chapter, we're going to see that there are a number of places where it refers to Old Testament situations, and they're going to be appearing right here in the New Testament for us, these things concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, his manliness, his humanness, and then he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It was the resurrection that proved that he was, in fact, the divine. Through him, we have received grace. We've received apostleship for a purpose, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom we also are the called of Jesus Christ. The letter is to all in Rome who are beloved and called to be saints. And so that's a gentle reminder right now as I'm just talking quickly through this that we went over. And so we have grace to you, peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We covered all of that last week, 1-7. And I would love to take 3 weeks to go through this one chapter. I would love to break it down in that way, but we don't have 3 weeks to break it down. So I will try not to talk too fast, but I will touch on the things that I think that the Lord has put on my heart as the important things for us to talk about as a group, and then the other things he will bring to your attention for you individually. And so in verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, for all of you. I thank God for all of you. When you pray, are there a few people that you think right away, yeah, I don't thank God for that person? Anybody else have anyone that, just a situation? It's not a continuing situation. It's just a situation right now. You know, when we talk about people who have offended us or something, Lord, just don't make me love them right now. You know, but he prayed for them all. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all for this reason, that your faith is spoken of throughout the entire world. It is spoken of throughout the entire world. They had done so much. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul is saying here, you are always on my mind. You are always on my mind. And it wasn't like Willie Nelson said, well, I should have done this and I should have done that and I should have done the other thing, but I was always thinking about you when I wasn't doing things for you. But this is Paul. He wants to come to them with a purpose. And he says, you are always on my mind. You are always there in the midst of my prayer time. And I want you ladies to know that you are always on my mind. That you ladies are prayed for, not just by me, but by the leadership that's here. You are on our minds because God wants to do a great work through you. He wants to do a great work in you, and he wants to do great things for his name's sake. So that's why you are always on our mind. And this is what he is praying for, making request, if by some means, now to at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. He wants to come to them. His whole heart wants to come to them. He wants to be a part of their lives. And he did come to them. But how did he come to them? As a prisoner. He was a prisoner when he came to Rome. And here he writes, I wanted to come to you, and I wanted to find a way in the will of God. Fortunately, he knew that he was called. Fortunately, he knew that God had called him, so that when he went to Rome as a prisoner, he wasn't shaken by it. God tells us that he tells us these things beforehand so that when things come upon us, we're not taken by them. We're not fooled by them. We're not led away by them. But in verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you something. I long to see you so that I can give you something, so that I can impart to you some spiritual gift. I want to give you some spiritual gift so that you may be established, so that that foundation in you that has been built can be established. That's why I want to come to you. I want to come to you to give, not to take. This is something that's very obvious with Paul. I want to come to you to give, not to take. And that's where we all need to be. All, you know, we go to Bible studies or we go to groups and we go, you know, I just didn't get anything out of that. I'm not hearing anything for that. So I'm not going to go back to that. Of course, we're not talking about this Bible study, of course. But we've all been to places where we felt that way, and we're just not getting anything out of it. when you feel like you're not getting anything out of it, will you ask God, am I here for someone else to get something out of it? Am I here for someone else? Yes, you are going to get something from the Lord every time. And sometimes it's that word that I'm here to serve someone else and not to just get it all for myself. And that is, verse 12, that you would be established, and that is that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. That mutual faith. I want to have fellowship with you. What is fellowship? More two people in the same ship. That is fellowship. We are all together in this. And he wants to encourage one another with the faith. With the faith that we have. We encourage each other with that faith. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you. I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the Gentiles. I made plans to come to you. Have you ever made plans and they didn't come to pass? Anybody else ever made those plans? One day, my husband said, okay, we're going to Wales and we're going to Ireland. Okay, so I don't know. I prayed about it, and yes, okay, he says we're going, so we bought the tickets. I packed my bags, and the whole time I'm thinking, I'm not going. I just know I'm not going. He wants me to go, and so I'm packing my bags. But I just have this feeling, God, that I'm not going to go. Am I going to die before that this all happens? Is that why I'm not going? But then as we got on the plane, and I'm still feeling like, I still don't feel like I'm going to Ireland, though. And so we get to New Jersey. And in New Jersey, we're sitting there at the airport, and it's time to get on our connection. And they say, it's been delayed. Okay, that's fine. Okay, Lord, what are you saying to me? Oh, it's just delayed. It's just delayed. Joy, I guess we're going. And then it was delayed again. And then it was delayed again. And then all of a sudden they say, it's canceled. We're not going out. Why are we not going out? Because the volcano erupted in Iceland. That was during that time when there were no flights going across there. You couldn't even fly any plane there. So I'm sitting there going, okay, God, what's the deal? I did what my husband wanted me to do. I packed everything. I got ready to go. I had this feeling that I wasn't going. Did we really have to go this way? And he said, yes, you did, because I called you to follow your husband, and I called you to be here in New Jersey so that I could put you up in a nice place, in a nice house. You can have one night there. It's a beautiful place right there, and then you fly back home the next day. So, yes, it did have to go this way because that's the way that I called you to. Our plans don't always work out exactly like we plan them. But they do work out when we realize that we're called by God. They work out according to his plan. And verse 14, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the unwise. 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready. I am ready. He was prepared. Are you prepared to preach the gospel? Paul said, as much as is in me, in verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I'm ready. I am prepared for that. For I am not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for everyone who believes, clings to, adheres to, relies on. That's what that word believe means. So I am not ashamed of that good news. What is the good news? That Jesus Christ died for my sins. That Jesus Christ not only died for my sins, but he resurrected. He is now seated with the Father at the right hand of the Father. So I believe that. I am not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to go out and share that, Paul says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But then in verse in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, from faith to faith. We started out in faith. It is not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy, he saved me. It is that faith that saved me, and it is that faith that will end, that I will end with. It is important, ladies, that we finish well, that we finish well, that we finish in the same way that we started, from faith to faith, from beginning to end, faith to faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. And it goes on to say here in this verse, the just shall live by faith. You recall that Martin Luther was changed by this verse. The just shall live by faith. He was one who depended on his works for salvation. He beat himself. He did all kinds of things. He went through all kinds of depression, went through all sorts of things. Most of you know the story of Luther. But when he came to this verse and believed it, he came to a place of freedom. He was delivered from the works, and he moved in the faith. But do we continue to do works? Yes. James says that, show me your faith by your works. But it is not the works that save us. It is the works that show there's evidence of our faith. And so we have this. It's the just shall live by faith. This is the first one that we see was in the Old Testament. Habakkuk 2:4 has that in the Old Testament. But the just shall live by faith. And then he switches gears on us. He has told us all these wonderful things, and now he's going to switch some gears. Because there's some things that have to be dealt with, but the first thing I want you to know from this first verse, where it says, for the wrath of God is revealed, that this wrath is not dealt. This is not for us. This is not for the believer that he's talking about. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says that we are not appointed unto his wrath. And so this is not for us, but this is a way, it can be a progression of a way that we could enter into that place. But I know that that's not anybody here. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. They try to push it down. Do you find any time in the days that we live in that they are trying to suppress the truth? All over the place. We hear it all over the news, trying to suppress the truth of God. Even as we learn about the things that are available in the schools today that we still can share with our children in the state of California, what the truth has been suppressed, and we haven't known that we could go ahead and share that, that it was not only to be shared, but it was a requirement. It's a requirement that the children in California learn certain things that have to do with the Bible, that have to do with Christianity. It's on the books, but we don't know it because the truth has been suppressed. And so the truth, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. It's been manifested into them. Acts 14:17, it is undeniable. It is made manifest in them. God has put us together in such a way, all we have to do is look at how our body is put together, how the heart beats, how the lungs work, how the capillaries all come together. I don't know. I'm just thinking of any medical terms, any bodily terms I can think of. You know, how all of these things work together. I should have Patty come up and share with you. But how they all are connected. We didn't evolve. If we had evolved, there would be some things that didn't work and we would have died. They all had to come together at the same time we have no life. It's manifest in us that we are created by him. For since the creation, verse 20, of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Remember, write it down and then turn to it. Psalm 19. Little thing we learned from Maureen at the retreat. Write it down, then turn to it. 19, starting with Psalm 19, starting with verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. You don't have to have a language to express what God has done, to see what he has done. Since the creation, the world of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. How do we look at a sunset without believing? How do we look at a sunrise without believing? How do we look at how the trees grow or how things work together in all of what we call nature and not believe in God? It's undeniable. It's right there. Verse 21, because though they knew God, here's where the darkness begins. Because although they knew God, they knew of God, they had been taught of God, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. They did not give him glory as God. And then they were not thankful, it says. So they didn't glorify God. They were unthankful. They were not thankful, but became. It's a progression. When we fail to give the glory to the Lord, when we fail to be thankful, they became futile in their hearts, futile in their thoughts, futile in our thoughts, where our minds are going 20,000 miles a minute. So much, oh, I got to do this, got to do this, got to be there, got to do this. And it says that their foolish hearts were darkened. They failed to glorify God. They were unthankful, and they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, verse 22, they became fools. You've listened to some of the intellectuals about creation and about all of these things. Foolish minds who will give any excuse for there not being a God, even though there is every evidence of it. They have not given God the glory, they are unthankful, and they became futile in their thoughts. And it caused their foolish hearts to be darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Jeremiah 10:14. Everyone, it says in verse 14 of Jeremiah 10, everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molded image is falsehood or is a lie, and there is no breath in them. So what does it say back in our text here? They didn't glorify God. They were not thankful. They became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They professed to be wise. They became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made just like themselves. Just like themselves. They made God in their own image instead of realizing that God made us in his image. They were unthankful. They refused to give glory to God. They became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And before you know it, they are building up their own gods. and they make them into birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God also gave them up to uncleanness. Well, what do you mean? You said that God never is going to let us go. You said that the Bible says that he's never going to turn his back on us. No, but we can turn our back on him. And our hearts can be darkened. And it says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart, which is to serve him. If we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord, here it says that he will also give us the desires of our heart. He gave them unto uncleanness. That was the desire of their heart. They wanted to be in that place. They refused to glorify God. They were unthankful. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They began to make their own gods, and God allowed them to go ahead and do that. If that's the desire of your heart, you go ahead. See how that works out for you. God will not always strive with man. There is a time when he says, go ahead. Go ahead. Do what you're going to do. But he's always calling us back. Always calling us back. And hopefully we learn from that. And then in verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Remember last week we talked about there's going to be a lot of Romans. It's going to look really familiar, but don't turn off. Don't turn off your listening as soon as you find something that sounds familiar to the day that we live in, because it's always been going on that way. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Isaiah 44:20, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Living for a lie. Exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Leviticus 18:22. There are consequences to living a life that does not glorify God, that is unthankful, that becomes futile in our thoughts, and our hearts is darkened. There are consequences to those lives when we refuse to follow after Christ. Every nation that we look at in history has the beginning of its fall when homosexuality has been brought in and accepted. Every nation that has been brought down with that at the base of it. And I know that we live in a time that it's going to be difficult to speak against that, but I can only speak the truth of God. And I will continue with as much strength as God gives me to speak the truth of God. There are consequences with that. God calls it sin, and we must call it sin. But that's not the only sin that's dealt with in this list. It's not the only thing that is dealt with in the darkening of our hearts, in the futility of our thoughts. It goes on. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. He let them go into that. He gave them over to it. He will give us over to a debased mind if that's where we need to go, to come to him. Verse 29, being filled. Here goes the list. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. This is not just talking about the homosexual. This is talking about different facets in different areas, consequences of having a darkened heart. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice, that is a key word here, those who practice, always makes me nervous when I go to a doctor's practice. I know that is a funny thing. I know that it's been used for years, but I really do feel that way. I know that I'm being practiced on, tested on, or whatever. But those who practice these things, later on, Paul would have written, of such were some of you. But you're no longer practicing these things. You've dealt with it. That those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Also approve of those who practice them. I've got to ask you, ladies, what are you watching? Do you approve of these such things when you're watching TV, when you're going to a movie? I've seen The Giver twice right now, the movie The Giver. And I would not call it basically a Christian movie, really. But it's not done well at the box office. And I'll tell you why it's not done well. Because there's not enough violence, there's not enough sex, there's not enough of the things that titillize our imagination in it. What are we watching? There are consequences to the things that we watch. I think of the program Criminal Minds. The things that are conjured up in the men's minds. We sit and watch something like that and we approve of it in that we are watching. We look at it and we say, oh, that's a horrible thing. And yet by our choice to sit and watch it, we are approving of it. You recall in the very first of the chapter, Paul says, we are called by God for the purpose of the preaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to be saints. We are called to be set apart for a purpose, and that purpose is for the glorifying of God. That purpose is that we would be thankful women, Now, I know, I believe with all of my heart, that there is no one in here with this list that's in their life right now. But I know, too, that all of us have, at a time in our lives, been a part of that list. We've talked about people. We've said things about people. We've looked at things we weren't supposed to. And we knew it. We knew it at the time. We found ourselves in places that we didn't belong, and we knew we didn't belong there. But I know that all of you in here, along with me, when God brought that to our attention, and he said, you got to deal with this. And Scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what God calls us to do. We are to be set apart. We are called to be saints. And we are going to be growing as we go through this book of Romans. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word that you've spoken to us. I thank you for, again, Lord, for your presence with us, that we hear your voice speaking to us. And, Lord, that you are the one that's in control, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and with your loving kindness you have drawn us. Lord, let us never be women who are unthankful and ungracious, and Lord, that we are unforgiving. Let these things never be said of us, Lord, because we have been set apart for you. We have been set apart for your glory. If there's any area in our lives right now, Lord, that you're speaking to, I pray that each one of us would deal with it. And that right now we would say to you, Lord, would you forgive me for whatever this is in my life, Lord? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, cleanse us and help us to be women who stand like Paul stood with a thankful heart, knowing that we are called by you, knowing that we have a purpose, knowing that we are loved, accepted, and heard by you. And Lord, I love how you have these ladies love one another with your love. And so as they get into their groups, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would make your presence known in each group. As each word is spoken, Lord, as each conversation is recorded, Lord, Father, that they would just be sensitive to you and bring glory to your name. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up. Wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com. Or call 714-891-9495.